Good morning. It's good to see each one today. I want to encourage you to take your Bibles and leave them open there for a little while at Hebrews chapter 11. I appreciate David reading that passage. You know, the most significant statement that can fall from the lips of any person is that they believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That they really believe that, that they have faith and trust in that. And that they will follow through by obeying Christ, repenting of their sins, being baptized, and then living a life that is pleasing and serving Him. That's the foundation of everything that we are as Christians. And I want us to think about, in some lessons to come, about faith. We're studying, as Jeff mentioned, in our adult class, we're studying Hebrews. And studying ahead and thinking ahead, I wanted to start looking at some things in Hebrews chapter 11. Not everybody's in that class, I understand. But I think that you can follow right along with what we're going to be looking at. He's telling those Hebrew Christians that they must have faith and trust and hold on to what they had in Jesus Christ. They had a tendency of going back to something else. And all of us, though, we're not Hebrews, we're Gentiles. But we've accepted the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And we must strive to obey Him. We must strive to have faith, saving faith. And that's what I want us to talk about in these lessons. I think that's what he's trying to get across in this chapter 11. He begins here in these first three verses talking about what faith entails, what it enables us to have. Evidence, conviction, assurance of things. My version from the New American Standard, I'll read it. It says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. God never expects us to believe something without being convicted of it, without having evidence of it. It's something of substance, as he read there from his version. It's something that assures us and gives us evidence. It convicts us. A substance is something that stands under. It's a sub under. Stands. It stands under. There's something underneath our faith. It's not just blind faith. When a person says, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, it's not the fact that they just, you know, they're taking a giant leap to believe that. There's more evidence for Jesus being the Son of God. There's more evidence, written evidence, eyewitness testimony for that fact than any other thing. If it wasn't, we'd be full of doubt. But we must be full of faith. And that's what he's talking about, what faith really is. So it enables us to have assurance and conviction. And he says, men of old through it have found approval. And his point is, we can too. And we must. When we get before God, we must have his approval. A terrible thing to get in judgment and God not be approved. There's going to be many who will be on his left, as explained in Matthew chapter 25, that won't have his approval. And they'll hear, depart from me, I never knew you. But yet there's going to be those who find his approval, and they're going to be able to enter into the joys of their master, things that he's prepared before the foundation of the world for those who love him. We've got to find God's approval. He says you found that through faith. Sometimes when people read this illustrations of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, I think even sometimes Christians say, boy, I wish I could have that kind of faith. The point is, we've got to have that kind of faith. He's telling us what faith is. And so when he tells us of faith, he tells us that we have assurance and conviction and approval. And even there in verse 3, even understanding. Back down in verse 6, he says, without it, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So that tells me that faith is more than just a mental acknowledgement in it. I've got to believe that God is, but I've also got to seek him. That's involved in faith. In fact, when you look at this faith, faith is not just a mental acknowledgement that I believe something, but it's a following through of what you believe. That's true saving faith. It takes obedient faith, active faith to save. The world doesn't teach that. Men want to water down faith. Men want to water down religion in general. And yet God won't accept any kind of faith. There's doubting faith. There's just mental faith. There's a lot. We're talking about saving faith. Obedient faith is the faith that saves. And we'll see that in the things that we study. You know, God knew, I think, that men would have trouble just taking a definition of faith. And he gives it. He says it's the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And by it, men of old have gained approval. But he knew that we need to see it. I'm a show me person, aren't you? You know, some people tell me what to do. But it's a whole lot better if they show me. Just show me. You don't have to be from Missouri to do that. You know, have to be. You've got. It's easier if you're shown. And that's what the Lord did. He makes it for faith. This concept is more than just something that's abstract or oblique. He wants us to see what faith is and see how faith lives. And to do that, he has clothed this idea, the concept of faith, in flesh and blood. And what better way to get across the idea to flesh and blood than to clothe the idea of faith in flesh and blood? In fact, God, the whole Bible's that way, not just Hebrews, the whole Bible's that way. When you read the Bible, it's just not a bunch of abstract ideas. What you have through the Bible is written in history and is very much biographical in nature. You read about great men like David or Moses or Elijah, or you know, we see these things embodied. In fact, that's what Jesus did perfectly, isn't it? God wants to get across an idea. He wants us to see faith. He wants us to see truth. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he came in the flesh, didn't he? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the Father full of grace and truth. He clothed it with flesh and blood so we can see it. He gave us a visual aid. In fact, he's done that through all periods of time. You can break this chapter down by the different periods. I think he's trying to get across a message there that it doesn't matter when you live, that God expects you, if you're going to find his approval, then you've got to have faith. And then he shows us what that faith is. You can look at the early period in verses 4 through 7 with Abel and Enoch and Noah, and then verse 8 through 22, you got the patriarchal period with Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And then you've got verse 23 through 29, you've got the period of the Exodus with Moses and the Israelites. And then you've got the period of conquest, verse 30 and 31, with Rahab and, you know, there in Jericho. And then the rest of the chapter, you got the judges and the kings and the prophets mentioned. He's trying to show us that no matter where you live, from the beginning all the way up to now, his point is that you have to have faith to find God's approval. And you can have it. Without it, it's impossible to please God. You've got to believe that he is, and you've got to seek him. And he's the rewarder of those who seek him. I don't have an overhead for you this morning. I'm having trouble with this, but I think you can follow my points. I want you to see, first of all, the first point, and this would be the title of our lesson this morning. I want you to see Abel and the worship of faith. Now, God's trying to get across the idea of faith. And he clothes it with flesh. First illustration he gives all the way back to the beginning with Abel. And it's impressive that it says there, by faith, verse 4, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. He found God's approval, didn't he? Through acting by faith. Through his faith. God testifying about his gifts that through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. He's still teaching us about faith. What it's about. Faith's not just, oh, I believe. You know, a lot of these places, I was talking to a lady a while back and they'd had a revival. at the place where she was, and she's talking about all these little, all these people that had come and they were getting saved, and a lot of them were kids, and some of them were really not old enough to understand the concept of faith or sin or what they were saved from. But you know, there's a lot of people say they believe in Jesus. And you hear these revivals and these crusades, and they'll tell people, just believe in Jesus. Confess that you believe in Jesus. Accept Him as your personal Savior. God, for the sake of your Son Jesus, come into my heart. They know anything about Jesus. You got to know something about Jesus, what He commands. You've got to know something about faith. It's not real difficult, but you do have to know something about what you believe. He's telling us what to do. And first point is that faith always seeks to worship. There's a lot of people in the world today, especially in our society, who think, well, you know, as long as I've got faith, I don't have to worship. I can worship God out on the mountain. I can worship God out. I'm just as close to God and out on the lake fishing on Sunday as I would be in any church. Well, it's not the building that makes what we do important. There's just certain things that God has told us to do. That's not all of our worship. I understand that our whole lives is to be a sacrifice unto God. Paul talked about that in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. But there are certain things as God's people that we're to come together and do together to be pleasing unto God. As a church of God's people, and that's really what the church is people who come together to do together what God said do together. Now that's a small part of what we do in our lives, but we are to come together and do together what God said do together. And that's worship. Faith always, true faith always, it's not just a mental acknowledgement, I believe that God is. No, I've got to be one who seeks Him. And the way I seek Him is worshiping. Faith always seeks to worship. Abel offered, it says, to God a better sacrifice. It's interesting, that word offered means to bear something or to carry something. Abel comes and he brings something to God. He realizes, first of all, his deficiency before God. He realized that he was a sinful man. And he must appease God, that he must try to come to be in fellowship with God. And he understood the righteousness and the power of God. Therefore, he sought to do something about it. By faith, he offered. By faith, he worshiped. Faith always seeks to worship. Many times we, in our preaching, we try to encourage people to come to the assembly and be faithful to the assembly. Why we come together? We come together to do together what God said do together. We're come here to worship. So when you're encouraging someone to be faithful to the assemblies, you're encouraging them to be faithful unto God, faithful in their worship to God. Because that's our primary purpose. Now we come here also to encourage one another. We'll take passages. You back up a chapter and look at chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, and we'll talk about how we're to stimulate, consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the habit of some is, but we're to encourage one another. That's one thing, we encourage one another, but we're here primarily, first and foremost, to worship God. Now we receive benefits from that as well, and we've got a responsibility to those whom we come together to do together what God said do together. But our main purpose why we come together is to worship because of our faith. I'm convicted. I'm assured that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I believe in the Father and His love for me and sending His Son, and therefore faith ought to seek to worship. That ought to encourage an individual to be faithful to the assembly. For we come to the assembly, we come to services, we say, right? Come to service. What?
What our service, we're coming here to serve God, to worship Him. And when I miss the assembly, I'm missing my obligation and my responsibility to serve and worship God. That says something about my faith, doesn't it? If faith, he's trying to get across what faith is. He says, without it, you can't please God. Without it, you can't find approval. With it, he says, folks have found the approval of God all the way back from the beginning, all the way through to now. And he's trying to get us to see that this is the kind of faith that you and I have to have. And if I'm unfaithful in my attendance, it's a faith problem. Because faith always, always seeks to worship. You know, if you look at yourself and say, you know, I need to be better in my attendance. Look at your faith. Look at your faith. Strengthen your faith in God. Because if you love God, you want to serve God. If you want to serve God, you'll want to worship God. If you want to worship God, you'll be here. You know, faithful will worship God. Look over at Psalm 95, I think it is. The faithful will always worship God. Yes, Psalm 95, verse 6. One of those points I had on the overhead. Technology's good when it works, isn't it? Psalm 95, verse 6. Glad it's not necessary. Look at verse 6. He said, come, let us worship and bow down. That tells you something else about worship. It's coming to God and bringing Him something out of humility. It's bowing down, humbling yourself before. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture. We're the sheep of His hand. We depend on Him. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as they did at Meribah. Now, this is a quotation that's found back in chapter 3 of Hebrews. As in the day of Manasseh in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me and they tried me, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed this generation. They said, people who err in their heart and they do not know my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, truly they will not enter my rest. Now, why's he put that in there with worship? He's saying, hey, everybody, come now and worship the Lord and bow down. Faithful people, faith always seeks to worship, doesn't it? But unfaithful people won't worship. If they come, sometimes they just go through the motions. It takes more than just being there. He uses the illustration. He said, today, have this attitude. Don't be like the people of Israel who were unfaithful and as a result didn't get to enter into the rest of God. You know, he talks about in Hebrews how there still remains a rest for us, and that's heaven. If we want to go to heaven, come and worship God. And don't be like those who were unfaithful who didn't worship God, who by their unfaithfulness didn't get to enter in. That's what he's talking about. Faithful will worship. So point one, faith always seeks to worship. It brings something. It bears something. It seeks to come and bow down before God and to bring Him something because of His greatness. Because of my sin, I want to come and serve the Lord. I want to worship. Faith always seeks to worship. And the faithful will worship. Second point, faith always seeks to worship as God directs. You know, there's a lot of people who think as long as you worship God some way, some form, somehow, God's going to be all right with it. That's going to get you by. That's not faith. He's talking about faith. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then he closes it with an illustration, and he said, now do you look at Abel and you look at Cain. He said, you want to know what real faith is? You look at Abel. You want to know what unfaithfulness is? That's Cain. Now, was the problem that Cain just didn't worship? That wasn't the problem. Problem was he didn't worship as God directs. Faith always worships as God directs. It always seeks to worship, but it wants to worship like God said worship. Go back to Genesis chapter 4 where all this is taken from. Genesis chapter 4, begin reading verse 4, and you read about what he's referring to when Cain and Abel came to make these offerings. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4, and Abel, or let's just back up to verse 2. And again, she gave birth and gave birth to his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of the flocks. Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord, the fruits of the ground. And Abel, on his part, also brought the firstlings of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. Of course, we know that Cain became upset because of that. He didn't have the right to. And we can see why in Hebrews chapter 11. But notice here, we said that faith always seeks to worship. Both these men come to worship. But it's important to see from this that faith not only seeks to worship, but also always seeks to worship as God directs. And it's interesting to me that here's these two men. One's a farmer, one's a shepherd. Cain's a farmer, Abel's a shepherd. They both bring an offering to the Lord. But notice, first of all, they had a place to come. They had a place to come and worship God to present their offerings. I realize it's always proper to have reverence in your heart to God, and that a lot of our worship has to be in spirit. I mean, it has to, not just truth, but in spirit. We'll talk about that in a minute. Our lives are a continual service to the Lord wherever we're at, but God has always had a place for worship. You go back, time of the Israelites, it was at the tabernacle, right? Then later it was the temple. God never approved of the worship of Jeroboam and Dan and Bethel. And he never authorized the high places. And that was a burning question when he came to Samaria, even in Jesus' time, you know, the place to worship. Where should you worship? The Samaritan woman says, is it here at Mount Gerizim like our father said, or is it in Jerusalem? He said, Jews have truth on that. It's in Jerusalem. That's right. That's where God had commanded to be done at the temple. But he said, the time's coming, and now is, where the physical location is not going to matter, but whether or not you worship in spirit and truth. Yet God still has a place for us to come together and worship. Not a physical place, but where there ever two or three gather together in my name. He's talking about the church. The church, the people of God, wherever they meet, it is their responsibility to worship God together. Like we said, the church is those who come together and do together what God said to do together, wherever you meet. There are people meeting who have already met in China while we were asleep, but on this same day. And as the sun comes around to us, we come together here to meet and worship God. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, to him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, therefore since we received a kingdom, and that's who makes up the church here on earth, a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us do what? With gratitude, show gratitude by which we offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Is he not talking about coming together and worshiping as the kingdom of Christ, as the church, the body of Christ? That's what we're to do. God's always had a place to worship. Sometimes it's a physical place. Here he's talking about when we come together, we are the temple of God, but we have to come together to worship. And I don't think that Cain and Abel came to this place in chapter 4 by accident. Not only did they have a place to come, there was a certain time they would come together. It says that in the course of time or at the end of days, there was a certain time that they were to come together. I don't think that all of a sudden, oh, there's Cain, he's offering the same time I am. They came at the end of days at a certain place to make their offerings. God has never been a God of confusion. God has always had a place and a time to worship. Even in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, we see that the disciples in the first century came together on the first day of the week. They came together to do together what God said to do together there at Troas. And they worshiped. They broke bread to remember the sacrifice of the Lord. Faith always seeks to worship. And to worship as God directs. When these two men came, one brought his offering, another brought another type of offering. God had regard for one and not the other. It wasn't that, well, I like Abel better than I like Cain. It wasn't that kind of thing. Romans chapter 2 and verse 11 says, what about God? He is no respecter of persons. So it wasn't that he just liked one better than the other. Why did he have regard for Abel's offering and had no regard for Cain's offering? He's talking about faith. One acted by faith. One worshiped by faith and the other did worship unfaithfully. Now, when you look at this, not only do I think that God told them where to go and when to go, I think he told them what to do when they got there. You say, well, I don't read that. No, you can't read that, but it's implied. Because it says, Abel offered by what? By faith. How do you have faith? You know, there's some people say faith comes by some experience. One fellow said he got his faith as a blaze of fire from heaven. You know, it is that God zaps you with faith. That's not the way the Bible says you get faith. What does Bible, how does the Bible say faith comes? Romans 10, 17, what does it say? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the what? Word of God. So that tells me something about Abel. If Abel offered what he offered by faith, that tells me that God had spoken to him by some means to tell him what to do and how to do. Because he offered by faith, and faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So they knew where to come, when to come, and what to offer. Or it couldn't be said that Abel offered by faith. They both knew. God's not a respecter of persons. So they both had to know. But the problem here and the difference is, and here's the difference between faith that saves, faith that finds God's approval, and the kind that does not. Abel came and he offered unto God what God wanted. And Cain came and offered to God what Cain wanted. God, even from the beginning, desired a blood sacrifice. Anytime that sinful man approaches a holy God, there has to be death. There has to be blood. And he explained early on that life is in the blood. So this tells us why he would require that kind of sacrifice. Cain, however, and this was convenient for him because he was a farmer. It would not have been convenient for him to maybe trade his brother for that or to raise an animal himself. Or it was, he offered what was convenient. And you know, there's a lot of people today who want to have the idea that I can worship God, and I do worship God. And some men, they do worship God. Cain offered and worshiped God. He brought an offering to him. But it wasn't as God's right. Faith, acceptable faith, not only worship, but worship as God directs. There's a lot of people who come and offer what they want to offer to God. There's a lot of people this morning in their worship of and offering praise to God that they use instruments. And it'd be convenient for me to do that. I've got more instruments than I need. I've got a whole closet full of them. Love instruments, love looking at them, love fooling, like playing them, at least like trying to make a record on them. I like playing instruments. It'd be convenient for me to do that. It's convenient for a lot of people, and that's just what they like. But God, 8 times in the New Testament, that it mentions any type of praise to God through music, every time, 8 times, it says sing, sing, sing. Nowhere in the New Testament it says play or pick. So by faith this morning, the reason that we don't have a piano, not because I don't like to hear it or don't like to, you know, the reason we don't have a violin, not because there's not anybody here to play it, is because we offer what we offer by faith. Faith done by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And the Word of God said, sing. So, what do? We sing. God said, I want an animal sacrifice. Abel offers that. Cain offers the fruit of the ground. He has regard. God gives his approval to Abel. Has no regard for Cain. And that's what Jesus is trying to get across to the Samaritan woman. Those who worship God, John 4:24, those who worship God must, it's imperative, it's underscore the word must. It's not a might or maybe, can if you want to. He said those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. Two things involved. You got to have the right attitude as spirit. You can come go right down by the letter to what God says. If your heart's not in it, it's not going to do you any good, right? Got to have the right spirit, right attitude. But it has to be as the truth directs. Jesus said in John 17:17, my, thy word is what? Truth. The word is truth. So what you get from the word of God by faith, you know what to do. How to serve. Faith and truth. Spirit and truth. You know, Proverbs 10:14:12 says, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the way thereof is death. Some people say, well, I think, it don't matter what you think. It don't matter what I think. I might come up with all different kinds of things we can do in worship. And I might like doing all of it. But what matters is, we're not coming to please me, and we're not coming to please you. We're not coming to services to serve one another. A lot of people are, and that's why they build gyms, and they have banquet halls, and they serve themselves right well. But we come to services to serve God. We come to bring an offering. We come to worship. Faith always seeks to worship, but true faith that finds God's approval always seeks to worship as God directs. And Cain found approval. But we find that God rejects the worship that's offered outside of faith. This was false religion. You know, a lot of times people think about false religion as just being a person who worships a false god. Like Islamic people, you know, they worship Allah. And so that's false worship. But I'm going to tell you, false worship can also include worshiping the true God in a false way. And that's what Cain was doing. Some people say, well, it's just his attitude. Well, his attitude was wrong, or he would have done what he ought to. Some people say, well, as long as you worship God and your attitude's right, doesn't matter what you do. You can play instruments. You can do this. You can do plays. You can do banquet and do whatever you want to do. As long as your heart's right. I want to tell you, if your heart's right, you want to serve God like he says. Faith always seeks to worship, but worship as God directs. Cain worshiped the true God in a false way, and he was rejected. That's false religion. In fact, there's a lot of people who, and we can be guilty of this, we can honor God with our mouths, and yet our heart be far away from him. We can come in and go right down by the truth of what we do, and yet not have our heart in it. Just go through the motions, and God will reject that. But in Matthew chapter 15 in verse 8 and 9, he says, this people honors me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrine the precepts of men. Did you know that you can worship God and it all be in vain? There's a lot of people who teach right against that. They say, oh, as long as you worship God, he'll accept it. Cain worshiped him and he didn't accept it. And if we worship him, doing something, practice something, teaching something other than what's in the Word of God, he says, in vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrine the precepts of men. If I'm going to worship, I must do so by faith. Now, this is just one of the points he's talking about, faith. We'll look at some more of them later. But he's trying to say, you've got to have faith, please God. You got to believe in him, and it's more than just that. You've got to be active on that. You've got to seek him, because he's the rewarder of those who seek him. Without it, you can't please him. But with it, just like everybody all the way back to the beginning of time, you can find approval through faith, the right kind of faith. And he's trying to tell us what's involved in that. And here, this morning, we've looked at the fact that faith always seeks to worship God and worship him as he directs. You know, you can't start worshiping God and worshiping him as he directs. Do you first come and submit to him? You got to become his child. You can't even pray to God as you ought to till you become a Christian. Because Jesus said, pray in this way. Our Father who art in heaven. That's how he said pray. That's the way we address God. You can't call him your Father till you become his child. And the way to become a child is to be born again. And we do that through being baptized into the death of Jesus, as Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, be raised to walk in newness of life. That's being born again. If you're here this morning, you've never done that, there's things prepared where you can. You can be baptized into Jesus this morning, and you can seek to come to worship God and to worship him as he directs as you follow his word. Or if you're here this morning, you've not been faithful in your worship to God, in your service to God, then correct that. Make things right. Right now, while we stand and sing a song.